You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, happy Monday. Welcome to the Clement Magnatella Show. Thank you for being with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. How was your weekend? Okay, wait. We have to start the show properly by greeting the winners, by acknowledging the winning team. It's only fair. It's only courteous. That's how I was raised. I don't know about you. Where are my family? Pirates family members at. Yay! You should see Abel's face. He's so bored. Can you sing along? Oh, congratulations to Pirates. Congrats. I did tell you on Friday, was it Friday? I told you that I'll be wearing my Pirates t-shirt this Monday morning in victory. Celebrating victory. What a beautiful game of football on Saturday. One of the best derbies we've heard, eh? With both teams really showing up. I mean, I really think that Kaizer Chiefs and Pirates were impressive. The quality of football was just on another level. 6 minutes in, Kaizer Chiefs was in the lead. And I think even though they lost this particular game, like they've lost many others before, their performance on Saturday was a confidence booster for them. No? If you're a Kaizer Chiefs supporter, don't you feel a little confident that the boys really showed up on Saturday? I mean, out of the 13 games that Kaizer Chiefs has played this season, how many goals do they have? Probably the two that they had on this Saturday, right? Mateo, is it not? Have they had other goals? The three goals out of the 13 matches. Anyway, it's a confidence booster. So well done to you guys. For us as Pirates supporters, I think as Jose said, the coach, this is the best of Pirates we must see in each and every game. Consistency, please. And to our Kaizer Chiefs supporters, Kaizer Chiefs listeners, we still care about you guys. We're here to comfort you. If you watched that match, what were your thoughts? Were you at the stadium? 011-883-0702. That's how we kick off the 702 open line. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Good morning, Magnatella. This is Tepo from Reimsburg. Magnatella, great start to the show, man. Great start to the show. The derby was electric. It was a nice game to watch, and I'm just happy that we got the bragging rights. Back-to-back wins in almost 15 years now. So, really proud of the boys. Yeah, man. Can you just play that song again, man?
Azishe.
702. Yes. Shapa Pagania, Shapa.
I think we deserve that, eh? We deserve to replay that song. Abel, please.
Good morning, Clement. Tabiso speaking here. Oh, what a fantastic weekend I had, man. I mean, as a Pirates supporter, beating Kaizer Chiefs and their referee and the supporters at the same time. Wow, what a goal scored by Tabiso Levito Mavito. Munapule Saleng, what a comeback. Hi, man, Clement. I have fantastic one. The super weekend I had. Thank you, Clement. Bye bye.
To Jessica, I just want to say, Siso Chiki Sinto to Lambda now. When you call a lie. Stop crying, Jess. Then fix your house, please. Bye.
Iole, baka baka. Hey Clement, they thought they won first half. You know, by halftime they were busy celebrating, having prize and all of that. They didn't know Kuti, we are coming back. Oh la wola baka baka. We are the Pirates. We are the Kings of Soweto. Away, 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 ma baka baka. Stolani from Ekabeja.
Hey Clement. Ah, I just made my day. You know, Clement, I couldn't watch the game. I was not at the stadium. I was working, but I got privilege of actually listening to the game and radio. And after I've knocked off, I actually watched the highlights. What a game, I could say. This morning I just read, guys are creative out here. They've just sent me a package of a Kaiser Chiefs cigarette, and they're saying exclusively available now in loose draws. So, they just made my day. Kaiser Chiefs cigarette. Available in loose and draws.
That's a good one.
Yes, Steven Jens, okay. Cheers,
man. Oh, man. That's a good one. Oh, that is so funny. That's so funny. Yeah, I called my brother yesterday and he was so depressed. Yo, I called him and I was like, yo, bro, what's up? How are you doing? He didn't want. I was like, what do you want? I was like, no, I'm just checking on you. Oh, yeah. How many goals do you guys have, Kaiser Chiefs, in the last 13 games you've played? I thought it's two. Mattel says three. I would like to believe there's more. Surely there's more than that. Please let me know. I think I'm forgetting. I'm sure there's more. I'd say two. Mattel says three. How many how many goals do you guys have in the last 13 games? Just please, humbly requesting for you to juggle our memory a little bit.
Good morning, Mr. Manyate, Hamilton, here in the Springs. What a great opening. What a weekend. Mapagania, they've beaten Kaiser Chiefs. I'm sure Aben is very, very angry today for playing voice notes today for the Pagania love. Hamilton here in the Springs. Shapa Pagania, Shapa.
Shapa. Yeah, he is very irritated, Hamilton. In fact, he's sabotaging me because every time I say, play that song again, he doesn't. Watch. Abel, play that song again.
Morning, Clement. That's enough now. Yeah, you guys have celebrated enough, man. Let's get on with the show. Yeah, congratulations to you, but better luck to the Kaiser Chiefs next time. So, enough of the celebrity. Don't rub it in our faces. Thank you. Gabriela from Pretoria.
Okay. Fine. It's 19 minutes after 9.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Maniatella.
On 702.
I have to say, though, what went on Saturday with Kaiser Chiefs supporters throwing stuff on the pitch after they lost? Because this is now becoming a trend, and it's got to concern all of us. And this is not the first time Kaiser Chiefs supporters do this. Remember, they were already punished for spectator behavior in recent months. Remember when they were throwing those objects at Arthur Zwane and Molefe Inseki? And this is not a kind of behavior we need to encourage. And I understand the frustration from Kaiser Chiefs supporters. But this is sports. They're winners and they're losers. I do think there are other ways you can raise your frustrations, but throwing objects and things on the pitch to raise that frustration is not okay, because what happens outside when people are drinking and celebrating and there's a Kaiser Chiefs supporter there who's still frustrated and angry? So we need to call out that kind of behavior, whether it's Kaiser Chiefs, whether it's Pirates, whether it's Sundown supporters. But it really is concerning that Kaiser Chiefs supporters are doing it so much in recent times.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clemens Magnatella
on 702.
Okay, so the Democratic Alliance has asked powerful Western countries like the US and the UK to make resources available to bolster the deployment of independent domestic election observers ahead of the May polls. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on what the DA has done and what your thinking is around the approach that they've taken. The Sunday Times, in fact, reported about this letter just yesterday that was sent to the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, and 13 other foreign ministers, including Germany. There was Italy, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Canada, France, Japan, Finland, and the EU, where the DA is requesting support for local efforts to safeguard the credibility of the elections. So that means they're already concerned about the credibility of elections. Take a listen to the DA Member of Parliament, Emma Powell, speaking to Bongani Bima this morning. And please let me know, what do you think? Do you think this is wrong, the wrong approach by the DA? Do you think South Africa needs additional observation for these upcoming elections because the stakes are so high, as the DA says? And do you think that the integrity of the elections is under threat? And even if it is, do you not have confidence in the capacity that has been proven over the years of the IEC to deliver free and fair election? So let me know if you think the DA was right to approach the US and the EU for this additional support, or would you have rather approached it differently? This is what she said during a conversation with Bongani Bima this morning.
My request is clear. The DA's request is clear. The multi-party charter's request is clear. That it is in everybody's interest, all political actors, all political parties' interest, that we have all eyes on this election from the international community, that resources are channeled into bolstering the deployment of additional independent domestic observers, and that civil society is capacitated. This is not in any individual party's interest. That is in all of our interests as a democracy. It does not harm anybody. And in fact, it shores up support in the outcome that is announced by the IEC, given that this is the most crucial election since 1994. We as a nation have got everything to play for and everything to lose. And so our request to the international community is in our democracy's interest. It is not in our interest as an individual organization. And it certainly does not cast a pall on the IEC's ability to run the election. This is standard process in democracies the world over, that requests such as ours are made to the international community. And I might just add that our request has not just been made to the USA. It has been made to nations across both the global north and the global south. It has been that the letter, Anthony Blinken, is what is circulating on Twitter. But I would be happy to circulate our letters, for example, to Zambia or to the AU as well.
So in every election, we have had observer missions. In fact, I think over 100, if not 120 observer missions. Having the US bring us additional capacity doesn't necessarily bring about some credibility to our polls, does it? And we have had the European Union or European observer missions coming to observe elections, even in as recent as 2019. So what the DA says in this letter is that we need your help. This is an SOS to the US. We need your help in case government does not grant international observer permission to monitor them. When has government ever not granted international observers permission to monitor the polls? And who said that's a responsibility of government? Because that's the IEC. Don't observer missions apply to the IEC, and the IEC is the one that gives them permission to come? The DA in the letter also says the ANC is forming alliances with tyrannical regimes and could do everything to cling to power. And these are the regimes that they say are characterized by terror and oppression. But my question to the DA then is, which new alliances is the ANC forming now? Hasn't the ANC always had alliances with Russia and with China? Because the suggestion here is, oh my God, they're now becoming friends with these guys. But we've always been friends with these guys. ahead of the 2019 elections. Was this not a concern? Because our friendship with Russia was still very much intact. Our friendship with China was still very much intact. So they're asking for modern technologies and other resources to monitor the elections. They're saying the stakes are so high in the lead up to the elections. They even mentioned the fact that the MK party has been established, and they say that presents a risk to peace in the run up to the elections and even afterwards. And I just think this is quite a strange request to these Western countries, because what the DA is doing here is basically asking a foreign country to come and quote-unquote interfere in our elections. Because they are saying themselves that what they're worried about is that the ANC has been having this relationship with these countries, and they're worried that there could be interference in our elections by these malign actors. So my problem is there's a suggestion here that there will not be international observer missions that are credible and that are capable, like we have seen over the years. But the IEC is actually highly regarded worldwide for conducting credible elections. They've always invited over 100 international organizations, international, regional, continental organizations to come and observe elections. And the elections on this continent shouldn't be considered credible just because we've got observer missions from Europe and from America. That shouldn't be the case. Because that's a suggestion here that, no, bring your additional capacity. Give us the resources you have, because otherwise we're going to be in trouble. And I just think it's so strange to make this call, because we've got checks and balances in our systems that would deal with the issues that the DA is raising. There's a code of conduct. Like, if the DA is concerned about the MK party raising alarm and threatening violence if the party doesn't get over 60%, we've got a code of conduct that speaks to how the parties and their leaders must behave ahead of elections. So parties have to respect the authority of the IEC to manage those elections and assure voters that the IEC is doing this with impartiality. And this message the DA is sending out to America is not suggesting that. That's not what they're preaching to their voters. And yes, they're right. The IEC is not above the law. But there's legal recourse should the IEC do what is illegal. And I just think they're casting aspersions on the integrity of the elections even before they start, which I think is wrong. They're asking a foreign government to put in place mechanisms that already exist within our own systems. IEC is an independent body, and we need to stress that. It acts with impartiality, and nobody should interfere with its operations. If the DA feels that the IEC does not have the right capacity, or at some point they feel the IEC is failing, for instance, to even enforce the code of conduct, there's the electoral court. Like, we've got other legal remedies should the IEC do what is illegal or what is not permissible. So do you think the DA is being dramatic here? What do you think of this approach that they have taken, writing this letter to some of these EU countries and also the US? 011-883-0702. Let's chat on the WhatsApp line. 072-702-1702. It's exactly 9:30.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
9:33. MJ, you're in Pretoria. Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, Tara.
Good night. Look, you know there is a saying that desperate times call for desperate measures. I think the DA is fully aware that their position as the main opposition is under threat. Number one, Clement, the election observer missions, if I'm not mistaken, there's always delegates from the AU, the SADC, I'm not sure about the UN.
The EU now, also often, in 2019, we had the European Union observer mission.
Exactly. Now, what makes them to think this time, before even the results come, that the elections will be threatened. I mean, if the ANC wanted to play that, don't you think they would have done that when the DA took over Tshwane, when the DA took over other metros? And Clement, if you look at the countries, the number of countries that they selected, these are countries that are actually behind and supporting Israel's invasion of Palestine, including Argentina, whose president recently came in, made it clear that he is fully behind Israel and he was planning to visit Israel. So my question to them is, are they trying to play opportunistic and victim at the same time? Because you don't run and say, look, I suspect the elections might go this way. Why would they have not? If the ANC wanted to do anything, Clement, they've been losing voters year in, year out. What would make them to take this drastic measure this time around and say, look, we have to do everything to stay in power? I mean, they are observers. Even the political parties, they are invited when the votes are counted. So they actually want to affirm the position to the West, to the Western countries, and say, look, we are not with the ANC. We don't support them. We are with you all the way. And if you can stand with us, this is what we, and that is a danger to not only the country, but incredible institutions like the IEC. And I Silani, when he says the IEC should take the DA on this matter, it's a dramatic, unnecessarily so.
Yeah, look, I wonder in the code of conducts for political parties where this kind of action, what this kind of action actually violates. But I'll just check that, MJ. I'm not sure if the IEC is going to have strong ground here to go after the DA. But we and I need to ask questions about why the DA has taken this position. Because, as I said, the provisions are there in our law. We've got provisions that govern what the DA is raising in these letters to the US, to the European countries, and the letters that, as this woman said, Emma Powell, so they've sent a letter to Zambia, for instance, as well, and other African countries. All of these issues they're raising, we've got legal provisions that respond to that. So how different is the DA from an MK party that was also trying to cast aspersions at the IEC? How different are they from them? Yes, they're threatening violence. They're doing, Jacob Zuma was talking the other day about, you know, systems when voting and suggesting that there are no party agents at voting stations, as if it's just the IEC that counts the votes. That is not the case. The DA also knows that very well. That part of our systems to ensure that these things are run fairly is that you've got different party agents being represented at every single voting station. So are the DA going to tell us, oh, we don't have enough party agents that are going to be... That's never the case. No party, especially the big parties, will allow their party agents not to be at a voting station just because we don't have enough capacity. That is not true. So what is the DA playing at here? Because I'm really struggling to figure out. Because it's not like they are trying to sow a seed so that you and I can start questioning the credibility of the IEC, so that when they lose massively in these elections, and then we can say, the DA was right. Because I really don't think the DA is going to see a significant dramatic decline in their support. If ever there's going to be a decline, I don't think it's going to be that crazy. So what is the DA playing at? Is it just them being desperate for attention? Is it them just failing to read the room and just wanting to be in the news? Because sometimes you worry about, they want to say something about everything, even when it's unnecessary sometimes. And maybe that is just them being the vintage DA. Do you get a sense that's what they're playing at? I'm really struggling. Peter, in Centurion, what do you think?
I just want to start by saying, you know, cowards normally die many times before their real death. This is the death of the DA. They are so desperate to cling to their opposition status. They are aware that the EFF and other parties, if the ANC does not win outright, the EFF and other parties may take over the baton. Now, from where I'm sitting, this is treasonous. for the DA to approach the US especially and say the ANC or the governing party has got a relationship with some dubious countries, Russia, whatnot, that they are likely to interfere. This is wrong. So it clearly shows that the DA has already lost the election before it even starts. You see, you don't do that. It's treasonous. To me, the AU observer mission, the SADC observer mission, and the European Union, they've been coming. But why do you specifically go to the US? Why don't you go, for instance, to another country or whatever? You know, yes, I do understand that they also send the same letter to Germany and whatnot. You know, these guys are casting aspersions on the integrity of the IEC itself. The IEC has, over the years, successfully run free and fair elections. You know, the electoral court is there. If they are going to doubt anything, they've got the right to take the IEC or the entire process to the electoral court. Why now? You know?
Yeah. Peter, why now? That's the question Peter is asking. Kustas in Midrand, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Clement, DA is desperate for attention because they have lost a lot of moral ground due to that Israeli-Palestinian war. So they understand that they're already in a pursuit. So they will use any opportunity to get mileage, even if it means to question the credibility of these upcoming elections. Not the first time, by the way, they are on this fine line. They released on the last day a poster that says that the majority of the voters are going to vote for them. It was on Twitter the other day, on the last registration day, when the IEC literally rebuked them on this. So here's a party that is desperate. It wants people to move on from the Israel war because they've lost a lot of mileage and a lot of credibility and support. Now, guess what they are doing? They are doing something that is also very dangerous. This letter, Clement, must be what it is. It's dangerous because they are asking for resources to be given to opposition or either civil society movement. Now, ANC has a serious problem with NGOs simply because they see them as anti-ANC. So they're desperate to control the NGOs. When the DA says to the US, give money to the NGOs, civil society, the message to the ANC is that these people are actually anti-South Africa. So they want to curb the powers of the NGO already. So here is DA giving ANC ammunition to shut down the NGOs because the NGOs have enough power to challenge in many of the decisions. And they don't know how to deal with them just yet. So that's a danger of that letter coming, because it makes NGO the target of the ANC going forward. I think there's a law in place where they're trying to make sure that the NGOs are held accountable. It's still up in the air, hasn't been signed yet. With this in mind, then the ANC sees DA as an enemy that uses NGOs. And thereby, they will put that law, because they've got the majority, and put that law into place to say NGOs going forward, these are the checks and balances that you must do to form your NGO. It's dangerous, Clement. And I think DA is going to lose support because their strategy is so wrong, out of touch with South Africans, and they still think that they're going to get. They will not. John has already, is a least candidate that we like. And here is coming to maneuver this thing. And it's so anti-South African because that's not what we want. I would like to leave my
question. All right. Thank you. Kustas, thank you for your contribution. On Twitter, I saw someone made me chuckle a bit. Do me on Twitter, says Clement, the DA is that, this is Tula, who says, Clement, the DA is that friend you take to the meeting and you tell them, I will do the talking, okay? They have a great aim for shooting their own food. That's what Tula says. Dumi says, Clement, the DA knows that they'll decline in the elections. They are preventively crying before the whistle blows. And Dollars Boloka says, it's not surprising that what the DA did. Their credibility is Western anchored, and it always has been, and it always will be. It is not being dramatic. It is just being the normal DA.
Hey, good morning, Clement. The issue of the DA, I support it 100%.
Clement, we don't really paying an attention on what's happening on the floor. I mean, first floor, as I'm speaking. The tension between the MK party and the ANC, it's very high, Clement. We don't want to see the repeat of the July unrest when Jacob Zuma was arrested. You know what happened there. These elections, they need to be monitored a month before and maybe 2 months after. There's tensions on the floor, Clement. We need to come someone from outside, an independent body, to come and monitor. We're going to lose lives. People are going to die. It's nice when we are sitting there at Santino or wherever. Us here, First Loras Katlehong, the tension is very high, even in Tokoza. Mark this voice note. We're going to play it after the elections when something goes wrong. Thank you.
Hi, Clement. I find it very ironic that the DA has approached the U.S. Obviously, there are other countries as well. But the U.S. being the main one, who has a history of fixing elections, not only in their own country, but internationally as well. There are so many papers and documents and videos of the CIA being complicit or being an active participant in fixing elections, not only locally, but in countries that enhance that provide a benefit to the U.S. global agenda. So that's almost akin to a sheep asking a wolf for protection, knowing that the wolf is the same one that's gonna chow them one day.
How's it, guys? With regard to the DA and the antics, this is the old boogeyman called Swart Ghaffar that is coming back to haunt us. With regard to the USA, they are in no position to administer any type of overview on oversight on our elections. They need to go and sort their own internal systems out, number one. Number two, let us not forget that it was the US ambassador to South Africa who just a few months ago created a whole ruckus about South Africa supplying arms to Russia. So, yeah. The land of the free, land of the bold, what?
I mean, we had the U.S. ambassador on the show. Abel, if you can find that clip. I remember someone asking him about the upcoming elections. I don't remember what the specific question was. And he made it very clear. He's like, as the U.S., we cannot interfere. We are just going to be observers, like everybody else. We're just going to observe how these elections are going to go. But there's someone, I think, who was asking a specific question about possibly the U.S. intervening in helping us. I will try to find that clip and hopefully I can play it for you before we wrap up the 702 open line. Another thing here is the DA is the official opposition party. If the DA is concerned about possibilities of the ANC doing everything possible to stay in power, what laws or mechanisms have they introduced in parliament as the opposition party to try and prevent one day what they think may happen in this year's elections? Because it's a one thing to bring in a loud hailer and start talking about what's possibly going to come, and it's another to actually use the powers you have as an opposition party and go in parliament and say, okay, because we are seeing what's happening with the elections, ahead of elections with other parties like the MK, or we've seen what other countries have done in the run-up to the elections, this is what we are introducing in parliament. Or maybe in strengthening the code of conduct for political parties. Has the DA done that? Have they proposed to the IEC or through parliament how that code of conduct can be strengthened? What have they done in using their own power and influence as an opposition party instead of writing letters to? I mean, the irony of going to the U.S. Hey?
Ah, Clement, you cannot trust the government. You cannot trust the IEC. You cannot trust anybody, really. In the country with regard to all links to ANC. So why should we start trusting them now? Hence, the DA is asking for assistance, because if you look at the track record based on state capture, I mean, corruption is rife. So surely there's corruption in the IEC as well. Hence the question from hopefully the new leading party, the DA, and the Moonshot Pact with all the other parties. I think it's a great idea.
Is that how we think, though? Like, oh, the corruption is rife in the country, therefore surely the IEC is rife. Okay, in that case, let's use that. Corruption is so rife in the country and even among other political parties, then surely the DA is corrupt. I mean, in your thinking, we generalize, right? Because we've seen corruption under the ANC government. So even with independent institutions, even with Chapter 9, the Auditor General, huh? Surely the Auditor General is corrupt. I mean, to go with your thinking. No. If you want to look at the track record of the ANC and how corrupt their officials have been, that's fine. You can do that. But in this case, we're talking about the IEC. That's an independent electoral body. They've been managing and overseeing elections over the past years. What track record have you seen or examples that have said to you that the IEC is corrupt and is answerable to the ANC? All the political parties have been saying, yo, we accept the results. These were free and fair elections. The DA, when have they ever come up and said, these are not free, these were not free and fair? I mean, the DA, what was it? Was it the EFF leader, Julius Malema, who tweeted about a week or so ago, I'm going to try and find that tweet for you, warning other parties against questioning the credibility of the IEC. I'm going to find that tweet for you. Yeah, it's almost like he knew what was coming. Julius Malema tweeted and said, this thing of questioning the credibility of the IEC is not going to work, especially when you're doing it based on frivolous things. I'll find the exact tweet so I can read it verbatim for you. But here are some more WhatsApp voice notes that have come through.
Good morning, Clement. The guest you just had on the phone asking who is putting the elections in doubt. Cyril Ramaphosa was the first one to say that he was worried about the elections this year and interference therein.
Morning, Clement. This is Faisal from El Dorado Park. I think that the DA is 100% correct to have written to those foreign embassies. And by the way, the DA did not only write to America. They wrote to 13 other countries. So people must stop with their West dangers, and they're afraid of the West, and they're afraid of America, and they always want to put the DA under this cloud of being a white party. That's absolutely nonsense. You see, the organizations like the SADC Observer Mission, the European Observer Mission, and even the African Observer Mission, they've all failed the people in Zimbabwe under Robert Mugabe. He rigged those elections decade after decade. So the DA is correct. And South Africans must remember when people picked up IEC boxes in Alexander in the last election. So the DA is right. I think that I'm 100% with them on this.
And why are you judging us against Zimbabwe? Our elections are not managed by the same body. The Zimbabwean Elections Commission manages things differently. And I've covered elections in Zimbabwe. I've spent 2 months there following political parties and going to the polls in the morning when people were... It was shocking what we discovered, even as international journalists, based on what we know from our own countries, how the Zimbabwean Electoral Commission was managing their own elections. It was crazy. So don't judge us against Zimbabwe. That's why we have the IEC. And that's why we have not had elections that are where SADC or European Observer Missions have come and said, these were not free and fair. That's for a reason. Here's that tweet by Julius Malema. This was on the 25th of February, he tweeted, and I quote, "The reality is no election is going to be rigged. And if you feel defeated before even putting up a fight, then give up. We have solid election structures, including highly trained party agents. We are marking SATU officers bearers at all levels and shop stewards not to be hired as IEC staff. We're recruiting professionals, mostly targeting the retired ones, to volunteer as our party agents because they won't be easily intimidated. The rhetoric of predetermined outcomes is extremely dangerous, especially during highly contested elections like the ones we are confronted with. We heard before that people have intelligent information about this or that without providing or producing anything material, even at a point where we thought something would give nothing. Nothing came forward. Not now. We have listened to this nonsensical story of information came for far too long, and it won't work this time around. The role of opposition parties is to complement each other at the voting stations. I can't put it better than the president of the ATM said. We must look after each other's vote. If anything goes wrong, we would have allowed it. The counting part is the most critical point of every election." That's what Julius Malema said. You'd swear he almost knew what was coming.
"My opinion, the ANC is desperate. In the past, they weren't so desperate. Now they're desperate. They've got the MK that they're up against. They've got the EFF that they're up against. I mean, let's not even think about the DA that they're up against. Put that aside. They might actually lose the elections. So when you're desperate, you do desperate things. And you steal, you do whatever. And I think that's where the ANC is at the moment. I think they're desperate. So yes, I do think that there's going to be problems with the election. And yes, I do think that there might be rigging. And that is just because they're desperate. That's why they will do it this year and haven't done it in previous years. Previous years, they weren't desperate. Now they're worried. They're desperate."
So, and the IEC doesn't have capacity to deal with whatever desperation is coming from any party, whether it's the ANC or it's the MK party. So the IEC is not capable then to manage this election in a way that it doesn't pander to and respond to parties that are desperate. Is that the message then? Jay, you're calling us from Sandton. Good morning.
Hi, morning, Clement. My point is very similar to the previous callers.
Mm-hmm.
The ANC is, for the first time, seventh election now, first time they are damn desperate to hold on to their gravy train seats. They are going to try all kinds of shenanigans. They've been looting public money. They've been taking taxpayers' money and funding this party. What doesn't prove anything that these guys are capable of doing and bending certain things? And of course, I am suspicious about some of the people that have been nominated and appointed on the IEC. Let us have another show that will say who was appointed on the IEC and were they passed ANC-appointed people or people that were nominated and appointed from the Thuli House. More importantly, about this election, it is appropriate that that overseas observers come and watch that this very same darling party of the ANC of 1994 may just about to be doing a looting of an election. Who knows? They're desperate. They're going to be kicked off that gravy train.
Jay, in Sandton, thank you for your thoughts.